Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Horror Bites on SaferRoom, the show where we highlight short indie horror games and the people who make them. I'm asking you to look at this photograph, and he is full of questions about this mysterious talking amulet. I'm Neil Bolt, and he is Jay Krieger. How goes it, Jay?
Doing well, man. Very excited to chat, as always, about this week's games, as we pick two games that are distinctly different, but I think that they both align with sort of our interests in horror, and specifically in, you know, these bite-sized slices of horror that we can't shut up about.
Exactly. And this week we do have more snack-sized horror gaming with the demo for A Colorful and Deadly Shooter and an analog horror photography game. So there you go. These games can be found on itch.io and Steam this week. And if you play and enjoy them, please help the developers out by supporting their present and future works in any way you can. As ever, links for both games will be included in the show notes. So first this week, Jay, it is an outing to Steam for a demo again, and there's a strange smell around this one.
This is a game that has been on my feed for probably the better part of like 2 years. Yeah. And it's one that I believe is scheduled still to come out this year. So I was very, very excited to finally get my hands on it this week. And that is the demo for Sulfur from developer Perfect Random, which is an old school shooter with new school sensibilities, combining roguelite elements with a dungeon crawler mentality to it. The player descends into a multi-leveled cave system, with each filled with randomly generated environments consisting of guns, loot, and of course, lots of baddies for them to shoot their way through. So, first-person shooter looks very sort of run-of-the-mill standard from what you'd expect in terms of the setup, but it has a lot more multi-layered systems to it. And, you know, right off the bat, what is the most important thing? The guns feel great. They're very responsive. Each of them has their own little sort of oddity twist to them. So, you know, while you are going to be paying attention to, you know, the different types of firearms and what types of ammo goes into them, there's this fantastical nature to everything. So for every Mossberg shotgun you can find, you're going to find a pistol that can fire, you know, like AK-47 rounds that are very like crudely jammed into the top of it. Or you're going to find these like futuristic submachine guns and whatnot, or you'll find like an energy cell powered shotgun. So there's this great sort of eclectic mix of firearms, which, you know, if anybody likes a first person shooter, that's like the number one thing, right? Is there a great variety of weapons? Do they pack a punch, and are they fun to use no matter what gun it is? And I think, you know, first and foremost, Sulfur does that really, really well. And, you know, in including a lot of those sort of new school sensibilities, I suppose, that plays out in the customization of things, which was a nice surprise to see, because from what I'd gathered online, that wasn't going to be a bigger focal point of the experience. But for this, you know, there's sort of like a quality almost like Binding of Isaac, if anybody's familiar with that game, where you pick up different weapons and abilities and then you can upgrade them and you get these quirky sort of bonuses or sort of like checks and balances to everything, because for every attribute that gets added to a gun, you know, it's going to have something that takes away from it a little bit. So you might have bigger bullets with some of the enchantments that you can find. At the same time, that might decrease like the damage output and whatnot. And so in that regard, like, I think that the RPG mechanics that are here are great, and they are not as distracting, I suppose, as I thought they would be, because it's all in sort of emphasizing the gunplay, and it's making the gunplay more fun and more varied and throwing these odd little curveballs to combat that keep it really, really fresh. You know, the game sports this fantastic art style too, which is very cartoonish, but at the same time, it's very expressive and it's, you know, plenty bloody and whatnot. So, you know, while you might see these little cartoon goblins or goblin dogs running at you, if you shoot them in the face enough, they're going to have, you know, their brains pop out or their heads blow open. Or if you hit them with a grenade, which is some of the most fun I've had with a grenade in a first person shooter in a while, it'll just completely eviscerate them. And then, you know, the walls, the floor, everything is just caked in jibs and whatnot from these very, you know, cartoonish, almost sort of like Adventure Time looking influenced characters. But at the same time, you know, it has that sort of gruesomeness behind it that you'd expect from an M-rated first-person shooter. Before I get a little bit too much more into it, though, like, how did you find this and the sort of blending of genres?
Yeah, it's a very disarming thing. I went into it not really knowing much about it beyond, you know, it was a shooter like that. And you see that sort of visual style, and I've seen a few games like it in first person. And yeah, so when it started being a bit weird, it was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Right down to like the animation of characters when they're getting shot, you know, which is like they kind of just like go from side to side in that sort of someone's controlling a paper character sort of thing, you know, which I found really appreciated. But yeah, it really does just start to open itself up to being this bigger thing, you know, like there's an indie structure that's been done before in this, but it's strangely new because I think a lot of indies have kind of moved away from this stuff. You know, when we had that first real big wave, there was a certain style and mechanic, a set of mechanics that really personified it. And this has a lot of them, but with like the more modern twists in them as well. I really enjoyed that about it because I thought, oh, we have something that is kind of what I used to like about that wave of things. The, your Spelunkies, your Rogue Galaxies, you know, this tongue-in-cheek humor and brutalist stuff in otherwise endearing-looking worlds. And yeah, I think there's going to be so much more to this as well. The writing is quite funny as well. It makes that first thing of like, you know, you can ask the basic four questions sort of thing once I've explained this to you, and you know, just doing the who am I, why are we here, that sort of thing. I like that. But that visual style is, like you say, very Adventure Time-esque, and but having that sort of slightly more adult edge to it with the surprising, you know, gore and stuff that you get in there. But yeah, it looks like a really interesting world. I'd like to sort of see how more of it plans out. Those RPG elements kind of give it something a bit more reminiscent of stuff like Forgive Me Father, which was, you know, another one that I liked. You know, really put a nice spin on the first-person shooter. See, I'm liking the look of it. I mean, it's like indie Borderlands in a way, just like tone, you know, in terms of not going for like full-on gonzo, look at me, but it's that sort of weird world that looks cartoonish but is incredibly violent and off, you know, in that way that is can be endearing in Borderlands when it's at times.
Yeah, I mean, those are great shouts in terms of games that are, you know, I think influenced it in terms of its structure, its design, but at the same time, I'd throw in something like Enter the Gungeon, where it's like, okay, you've got, and that's indicative, I think, of this game's level structure, where you go through basically six levels before you get to the final one of this zone, which is in the demo is a dungeon, is a cave system, which is not necessarily like the most interesting environment, but I think that it serves a good purpose of letting, you know, the combat and the gameplay really shine in a way that, you know, previously we haven't been able to see because this is our first time getting hands on with it. But on that seventh level, at the very end of it, then there's a boss encounter basically, which then has the bigger reward, which then sends you back to the hub world, which you can leave any zone at any time and retain all the loot that you have, but at the cost of having to start over whatever zone you're trying to conquer at the given moment. But in that hub world, there's also, you know, lots of characters with funny dialogue, personable dialogue, but at the same time, you can buy new enchantments or attachments for weapons. There's a gunsmith, a typical sort of hub world, I suppose, you know, services that you could get in any sort of shooter. But it's just nice to see that this is a game that has, I suppose, a hub world that's connecting all the different zones to it. While in the demo, you can only play the cave system one. It's just nice to see a little bit more of sort of like interconnectivity between the different zones and the world itself, instead of just maybe what I had assumed incorrectly was just like this one long linear sort of experience and sort of giving the player the ability to choose when they want to take a step back and sort of recoup or ditch some of their gear, buy new gear, switch up their strategy and whatnot. It's a shooter with a little bit more strategy behind it, which I always appreciate. And it also has a really great lo-fi sort of funky hip hop score to it that plays in the background that I'm a huge fan of. Even if one of the tracks at the very end of it, there's like a silencer going off. And every time that happened, I was just like, oh shit, am I getting shot? And then just like took me aback for a second. But other than that, you know, it's a really, really terrific score that accompanies, again, this sort of something that looks somewhat familiar, but it has this adult edge to it, a little bit cooler of an edge than maybe, you know, an Adventure Time or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be in the dark room for a minute, and then we will be right back with our second pick. Welcome back to Horror Bites. This week's pick for me is Nightographer, an analog horror game by 1E0, developed for Acerola Jam Zero. In Nightographer, you play a photographer on a mission, and that mission is to explore the woods and take great pictures, which is, of course, a perfect Sunday for anybody. A bit more detail, though, tells us that we are working for a travel agency, and this company has pictures of every town and place in the country. Well, except for one place, that is. A place where there are no pictures at all of it, it seems. This place is remote, in the mountains, in fact. How exciting. So, of course, it's your job to go and document this place. And just, wouldn't you just know, it's not a good place to go. Who knew? Like that.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah. Now, you know, the idea of a photography game has been done plenty of times, but I think it's still interesting, especially in the horror space, to get that. I remember playing one that was very similar visually to the game we were just talking about, Sulfur, that had a, you know, about shooting like ghosts, you know, in like trying to capture them on film sort of thing. I played a demo for a while back. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was really cool the way the photography was managed in that game and took part of it. This is, you know, very, very lo-fi by comparison. It is a game jam game. That's very evident. Generally played from a sort of top-down perspective where, you know, you have dark patches, which you can, in this, as you've got this winding road up the mountain, which you can use your camera's flash to illuminate the way. And then you have a picture-in-picture of it showing what your camera's taken a picture of in front of you. And now with that setup alone, you know what you're going to get into here. It's like, oh, I see. So yes, it'll help me see, but of course it will help me see what I don't want to see. And yes, naturally that does start to happen a bit more as it goes on.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Initially, it's a bit of a fiddly one to get used to, especially with the if you're not using a controller. You know, this is especially with the dark sections happen and you get a bit disorientated and the pictures don't always show what you're hoping to see in the darkness, and you can get slightly knocked off paths. But yeah, for what it is, I think it works pretty in an interesting way. You know, I think it has something going for it in terms of this idea of using photographs like that to literally just illuminate your way. We've talked only recently about, you know, the different ways of using light and illumination and finding your way in games and how that can be done. And this is quite a smart way of, you know, deconstructing that old, you know, the whole you've got a video camera, you've got a flashlight sort of thing, and just saying, no, you know, the flash of a camera. I think, what's the game that does it? Madison, I think it's the one, isn't it, where they use a camera to, as part of the game mechanics. I think that's a bit more general. Here, yeah, I like that, you know, you are anticipating eventually you will see something and like that. And the looming darkness in the shots you do take a lot of the time, I think, are really effective. I mean, the analog horror nature of it, as they say, it really works for it. You know, getting that sort of, what am I going to see next thing? And there's so much impact, even when you do not see something, because of that, that you are kind of getting into this mood and idea of what the game is going to be about. So yeah, there's not a lot more to say about it, I think, just because it is quite basic in terms of the structure. It's the idea that really stands out, and you could see being fleshed out into something bigger and brighter. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I agree in terms of it is incredibly promising what is delivered here, and you can see how that can be fleshed out into a full experience. Now, in terms of just what you actually do for this brief slice. It's like, you know, yeah, you're going to go around through the dark, illuminate, you might see a couple of creepy things, and that's kind of the brunt of the experience. But I found that mechanic of the top down and then the first person perspective of the camera, picture in picture, really, really impressive. And the potential for scares with that, I think, is really, you know, the biggest takeaway for this. You know, even still, like, I was anticipating, of course, like, oh yeah, something's going to, you know, pop up or something like that. But you just, it takes you aback for a second when you're getting used to using the mechanic. And it is paced smartly where there aren't an overabundance of, you know, jumps or scares in this or things to take pictures of. But I like that anticipation building when you just begin very simply. Okay, I'm going from this streetlight to that streetlight. There is a bigger gap. So now I'm going to use this flash feature, and you look through your sort of Rolodex and you've got, you know, five or six photos of nothing, basically just like illuminating the woods. And then that one time that you do it and you catch just something in the corner of a frame.
Yes.
And then you go in that direction and then you retake it. And then, oh shit, there's that scary thing or creepy thing. And the potential for moments like that, I think, is incredibly strong.
Yes,
and this serves as a really great tech demo for that. You know, it is somewhat easy to get lost a little bit at times, but I mean, again, given what this experience is and what it's highlighting, it's successful at introducing that, you know, gameplay gimmick, if you will. And, you know, the premise is perfect. As you said, you're surveying a remote part of the country that nobody has surveyed yet. So it's, oh, what could be here? That type of thing is like the perfect setup for this type of experience. So yeah. And the picture in picture, was really impressive. Also just how they're able to get that to work to the degree that, you know, the smaller one, that's going to be your camera perspective, it almost looks like a video camera for a couple seconds before it takes the photo, which also could be used to have some scares, in it in that regard.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is so much potential with that. And, it does. It reminded me actually the other day of seeing that with certain phones. Of course, you have that preview sort of thing now you get with images where, you know, it takes a bunch of images in a row.
Yeah.
You sort of see the preview of how it gets to the best one. I thought, yeah, kind of reminiscent of that, but, you know, obviously more of a mechanic rather than what's being used. But yeah, I think that there's a really solid foundation for something proper, you know, here, you know, like that. Not to mean what this is, it's a game jam game, it's an experiment, that's the whole point. And I think from that should come something bigger like that, even if it just retains the top-down style, even if it retains the camera style, all that would work just fine. Just needs a bit more around it. And I think, yeah, you, to your point, you know, where given the kind of experience it is, the getting disorientated and getting lost in the darkness makes sense, you know. And I think as much as it was a bit frustrating at times, I did feel it made that the kind of experience I wanted from it, you know. That, you know, I like the idea of you're in the woods, you get lost, it's horrible, it's, you know, it's an ocean in the middle of nowhere sort of thing, effectively, in the way, if you want to navigate it, good luck sort of thing. So even with a camera, I think it's, when you look at the mechanics of it and the idea of it, it's not too dissimilar to stuff like Iron Lung, you know, in terms of like keeping it very bare minimum stuff, knowing something's out there, knowing that you may catch glimpses of it with the right tools, but it's all very, you know, if you do, you might put yourself in a vulnerable position sort of thing. I like that. I do enjoy that sort of really restricted rule set for a horror game. So yeah, this does it pretty well. So yeah, looking forward to what this developer does with this, if they hopefully do something with it in the future. Okay, I suppose that's it for this week. So we've wrapped up, and as ever, you know, if you are a developer of an indie horror game, demo, concept or game jam entry, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a DM at SaferingPod on Twitter or SaferingPod@gmail.com for email if you'd like to be highlighted or interviewed on the show. Jay, it's been another good one. We will see you next week. In the meantime, we will keep searching for more Horror Bites.